A weak swordsman with a sharp sword can still make his point. Today on Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray Bentley has advice for using the sword of the Spirit.
Whenever you share the Word of God, even if you just quote a scripture, speak as though you are speaking the oracles of God. Because literally, when you quote the Bible, you are speaking forth the Word of God. The power is not in you. The power is in what God has said.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. God's Word can make a powerful difference in any situation. Today, Pastor Ray takes us to an encounter between a prophet and a king. The king's demand was unusual and even impossible apart from the supernatural working of God. Good thing the prophet knew a thing or two about the workings of God.
Let's open our Bibles. We're in a study in the book of Daniel. We are in part two of this amazing dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar is the king of Babylon. Babylon has conquered Jerusalem. And Nebuchadnezzar is the king's name. He is the most powerful man on the planet Earth. He rules everything. He has everything is at his disposal. He can do whatever he wants, build whatever he wants. Every nation in the world pays taxes or tribute to him. His name is famous. And he's wondering, now, what's going to happen in the future? What will happen to my kingdom after I am gone? And he had this terrifying dream, a dream, the kind of dream that you wake up with where your heart is pounding so hard you are sure you're going to have a heart attack, that gripping fear. And he kept having this recurring dream. And it was so awful that he would wake up and he couldn't quite remember the dream. So he goes to all the wise men, soothsayers, magicians, and so forth, and he says, tell me my dream and the interpretation. I need to know this dream. He doesn't realize it, but he had a sense. There's something. This is a weird dream. This was another worldly dream. It was. The God of the universe was talking to this guy and revealing something to him. None of his wise men knew. And they said, look, tell us the dream. We'll give you the interpretation. And he said, I don't remember the dream. Look, you're the guys I pay. You are the wealthiest, most powerful. You are the elite of Babylon. You are supposedly the diviners of the secrets of the gods. Now tell me my dream and the interpretation. Again, they said, look, we can't do that. Tell us the dream, then we'll give you the interpretation. And he began to realize, I could tell them any dream and they could make up an interpretation. How do I know it's real? So he gets angry because he's afraid. A lot of times when people get angry, it's because underneath their anger there is tremendous fear. And he says, you're all dead. Therefore, I'm going to kill all of you. Well, among the little university that he had going of these young guys, who, like I say, are somewhere between 18, maybe 22, 24 years of age, is a young Hebrew Jewish man named Daniel. And Daniel gets the word, hey, all the wise men have to appear so the king can cut their heads off. And Daniel says, wait a second. There is a God in heaven who knows and reveals secrets. So he prays. God gives to him the dream and the interpretation. Daniel goes before the king, and that's where we pick up with our story tonight. Verse 26 of chapter 2, book of Daniel. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name had been changed, here's his Babylonian name, Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king, and he said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. I like this guy. I like this guy, Daniel. He says, okay, let me get this straight. All of your wisest, smartest, best, elite, intelligent guys, nobody knows the future. And I love this in verse 28. And for being so young, so bold, may I also encourage you, Sometimes we, especially young people, lack or they feel like, well, I don't have the experience or I don't have the depth or I've never been to seminary. I don't know how to speak Hebrew or Greek. I'm just a simple young man or a simple young woman. I read the Bible. Many times you can come across far more powerfully and with authority, not because of your great wisdom. Daniel wasn't coming with his great wisdom, but he was giving all the glory to God, and he spoke with boldness. Whenever you share the word of God, even if you just quote a scripture, speak as though you are speaking the oracles of God. Because literally, when you quote the Bible, you are speaking forth the word of God. The power is not in you. The power is in what God has said. God has the power to declare it, to bring it to pass, to create it, to make it manifest. And I love what Daniel said, so young, but so bold. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came into your mind while you were on your bed. He's trying to go to sleep about what would come to pass after this. What happens to my kingdom when I die? In other words, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. Daniel makes it clear the God in heaven has revealed this dream. And Daniel says, the reason the one true God revealed this dream is to save myself and my friends and the young Jewish men who are here. Why? Because they are the chosen people. God is speaking to the most powerful Gentile on the planet Earth. Why? Because these young Jewish people who Nebuchadnezzar had power over and had taken from the land of Israel and brought them to the land of Babylon. And Daniel says, when you touch the Jewish people, you have got the attention of the Creator. When you touch the people of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you have just drawn upon the robe of the one who made all things. And for our sakes, he has revealed unto you what will take place not only now, but all the way until the latter days. And it's a time that is called the history of the Gentiles, or the times of the Gentiles. So here's what he now tells the king. You, O king, were watching. So imagine Nebuchadnezzar's face. Okay, here he is. He's going to tell me what it was. He says, you were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold. So you can imagine the sun shining off of the gold of this golden face of a man. But then as his eyes looked down the image, its chest and arms were of silver. So you go from gold to arms and chest of silver. Its belly and thighs then were made of bronze. And then its legs, I looked and they were made of iron. And its feet was partly of iron and partly of clay. Imagine as Nebuchadnezzar goes, that's what I saw. Wow, that was my dream. And then you watched while a stone was cut out without hands. In other words, it's a rough-hewn rock. It's not something that has been cut or done with a hammer and chisel. It's raw that has come out of a mountain. And that rock or that stone that is not cut with hands struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Now we have an image. Basically, this image of a man is the image of idolatry. It's an image of self-worship. It's an image of a man who thinks he's God. So he sees an image, a dream, an image of himself. But in this image of a man, he sees the future representation of all of humanity that will try to replace the image of God with the image of a man. And it's almost like this tall building. Then he sees this rock come from outer space, come hurtling toward the image, strikes the image at its feet, at its 10 toes, and this colossal, if you can imagine, something almost like the Twin Towers of a building, only it's the image of a man, comes crashing with flames and fire and debris down until there is nothing but rubble left at the bottom. How horrific That picture must have been. Then in verse 34, it says, "You watch while a stone was cut without hands, struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that there was no trace of them found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." This is the dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. This is God's view of history, and I'm going to try to summarize it very, very simply. Beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, the reason he got God's attention to send a dream to this king is that Nebuchadnezzar had conquered the city of Jerusalem. He had burned it to the ground. He had destroyed the temple. It was the first scattering of the Jewish people, and that's why now Daniel and his friends, Ezekiel and others, are in faraway Babylon. And God is moving. God is the one that is saying, all right, I'm going to allow from this day of the Babylonians, I'm going to allow the Gentiles to have control over the city of Jerusalem for a period of time that the Bible will call, in fact, Jesus himself called, the times of the Gentiles. If you are writing notes, note this from God's perspective. Whoever controls Jerusalem, which is the apple of his eye, that is the control of the world. So the times of the Gentiles has to do with them not just conquering and going and discovering every continent and filling every island with its empires, coming and going through history. It's who has power and control over Jerusalem. And the Gentiles controlled Jerusalem until June of 1967, when Jerusalem came back into the control of Jewish hands. Now, look with me in verse 36. "Now we will tell the king the interpretation of it. He says, 'You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, and he has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold.'" So God gave you, notice, he says in verse 37, "the God of heaven gave you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory." So apparently he's not God. What he has was given to him. "And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand. He has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom." All right? Here the guy's heart stops. Babylon's not going to last forever. It's not going to go on and on and on. Babylon's going to be replaced. And in fact, another kingdom inferior to yours. Then Daniel says, there'll be another kingdom, another world empire, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, insomuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay." Now, stop there for just a moment. Here is God's view of man ruling himself, because man replaced God ruling over us. The kingdom of heaven, perfection, there would be no sin, there would be no death, there would be no decay, there would be no suffering, there would be no need for police, there would be no need for firemen, there would be no need for military, there would be no poor, there would be no starving. All of that, when the Lord rules, it's paradise. It's perfect. It's beautiful. So since man dethroned God, this is the image of a man replacing the image of God with himself, starting with Nebuchadnezzar. And it's a deterioration. This is the last 2,700 years of history from God's perspective. This is a spiritual history lesson, if you will. And it's a big deterioration. Number one, notice the quality of the metals deteriorates. We start with a head of gold, and then it goes to arms and chest of silver, which is nice, but not quite as nice as gold. And then belly and thighs of brass, again, a nice metal, but not as valuable as silver. And then finally, the legs are of iron. Yes, it's a metal, but not very pretty, very strong, able to crush things. And then iron and clay is in the toes. So you have a deterioration of the metals, so also man's governments will not get better and better, but they will actually get worse and worse. Secondly, the specific gravity of the metals. Each metal shows its deterioration. Obviously, gold, heavy, has tremendous value, and it makes us all way down to clay, which is light, light. Thirdly, the position of each metal. The head is at the top, has the most honor, the most prominence, and then it works its way down to the feet. And then finally, Scripture tells us that man's governments will get worse and deteriorate. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 39, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. So it continues to get more and more and more and more inferior till finally God comes and replaces human government with the kingdom of God. So basically, from the government work, Nebuchadnezzar was, in a small sense, kind of like God, that he could rule over everything and whatever he said would rule. It deteriorates until there is now 10 kings in the last days. And that's when judgment comes. Look with me in verse 44. So remember, we have these 10 toes of clay. And in the days of these kings, 10 kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So you have these kingdoms starting with Babylon. Then you have the Medo-Persian Empire, which we will talk about again when we get to Daniel 7, which was followed by the Grecian Empire, which was followed by the Roman Empire, the two legs of iron. And then you have 10 toes. Okay, listen carefully to this. The 10 toes, which come out of the two legs. If the two legs of this image of man's government represents the Roman Empire, which like iron, broke and crushed the world into submission. The great Roman era, we all had to study it in school. The Roman government and the Roman Empire and the Roman power. And even during the days of the Romans, Jesus was crucified. So now in the latter days, there are 10 toes, 10 fragments of the European, this Roman European kingdom that come together in the last days. But it's partly strong and it's partly weak, kind of dependent one upon the other. And I think it's very interesting that right now we have in Europe the assembly of the WEU, or the Assembly of the Western European Union. Now, many of you probably have heard about the European Union. Oh, that's great. They're even bigger and more numerous than the United States of America, this United European community. And in the days, look again at verse 44, Daniel 2:44, and in the days of these kings, 10 toes, 10 kings, who are the remnants, the fragments of the Roman Empire. In other words, they come from Europe, and there will be 10 of them. In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces, consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So Daniel declares that the coming of the Messiah will take place during the time of the rule of these 10 kings who are fragments of the European community. And later we'll find out that a ruler will arise from this 10-nation confederacy, and the power that is given to him in the latter days, he is called the Antichrist, which basically means instead of Christ. But look at verse 45. It says in verse 45, "Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is true." There is going to come this giant stone, and that stone is not a man. That stone is none other than God's anointed, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 21, verse 44 is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together, shall we? He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Jesus is the rock. And if you fall on him, if you fall on him for mercy, if you fall on him for forgiveness, if you fall upon him to lean upon him, you'll find a great place, a great foundation to rest your life, to rest your eternal future. If you resist it and say, no, I will not bow down to the Messiah. I don't need a savior. And I am the only God, and I will do what I want, live how I want, and make up my own rules for life. Then the rock, when it comes, will land upon you and crush you, and you will be broken. 1 Corinthians 3:11 is in your notes. Let's read that scripture out loud together. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Daniel basically is saying here, trust in the Lord, who is the rock. And verse 46, we'll close to this last little paragraph here. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. He wanted to worship Daniel. Wow, that was my dream, and that's interpretation. And now he goes, wow, there is somebody that's smarter than me. Verse 47, the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. He wants to honor Daniel. Verse 48, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Daniel is now made judge. He is made prime minister of Babylon. So that's just a brief thumbnail sketch of the overview of human history and what's happening right now. The Jews are in control of Jerusalem. The nations are gathering around Jerusalem. There are now 10 nations out of the European Union that are overseeing what is called the Western European Union. And during the days of these kings, the rock unhewn with human hands is coming. Jesus is coming soon.
Pastor Ray Bentley with an exciting glimpse into Bible prophecy. From the time of Daniel all the way up to the times in which we live. Fascinating insights today on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, Future Telling. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, that title, Future Telling. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Daniel on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Within God's creation are many hidden insights God wants us to discover. Well, Pastor Ray exposes many of them and how they correlate with Scripture in his new book called The Holy Land Key.
In Genesis 1:14, it says that God gave the sun and the moon and the stars and the lights for signs and for seasons. The Jewish people say that a blood moon or a lunar eclipse is a sign or omen for the Jews. A solar eclipse is a sign or omen to the Gentile. We're going to talk about the patterns of what has happened in the past when these blood moons have come and what we might anticipate in the near future.
If you're fascinated by the close tie between Bible prophecy and what we see in our world today, you'll love Pastor Ray's brand new book called The Holy Land Key. Author and speaker Ann Graham Lotz said, Ray Bentley shares insights that are jaw-dropping, eye-popping, and mind-blowing. Read this amazing book and get ready for your mind to expand with new thoughts, your heart to enfold God's people, your eyes to glimpse God's plan, and your faith to soar in worship. My applause. This is a very worthwhile read. Well, let us send you the Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or find him on Facebook, facebook.com/PastorRayBentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Daniel. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.